Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Harabanit Sharon Bar Chaim, Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I am so pleased with what we have done so far on the two new news pages that we created, one in English and one in Hebrew. Our news pages are only 2 weeks old. It's just been 2 weeks since we put them up. Shlomo, our brilliant administrator, is basically running the English news page. And the Hebrew news page already has, we already have three videos that we did just for the Hebrew news page. Three new videos, including one that I just put up earlier today. It's really very exciting because I think we have something we can be very proud of. The pages look professional. They are professional. They bring a lot of news and information to people. And if you come to these pages, you're going to get information and you're going to get facts that you'll get nowhere else on no other site. And so this is something we can be proud of, and it's something all of us should be promoting as a team. Very soon, we're going to be on the Hebrew site, of course, dealing with the Israeli election that's coming up. The election may come up in as little as a few months from now. If the Israeli government falls, you could have an election in a few months from now. You could have an election in April or May or June. But the election is, we don't know exactly when because of Israel's parliamentary system, but the election is expected to take place next year in 2015. And of course, we, as a movement in Israel, one of our main goals is going to be to, at the very least, shatter the illusions that many Israeli voters and many Israeli Jews have when they go through the election cycle. Because of the election season, politicians make all types of grandiose promises. They lie to the people of Israel. And of course, then they break all their promises the minute they're elected, especially in Israel. So we want to shatter those illusions. We want Jews to understand, and we're going to show the Jews, as the election campaign unfolds, how these politicians are lying, how everything they say is inconsistent with their record, contradicts their record, how their statements are phony. And hopefully we'll teach Israeli Jews some lessons about how they should approach Israeli politics, the promises of politicians, and how they should realize that until we have a mass movement, a Hebrew voice in Israel that tells the truth to the people of Israel and that stands for the truth and is uncompromising, until we have that, all of the promises of these politicians are not going to be worth anything to the Jewish people. So hopefully we'll be able to show that and prove that, because, for instance, let's say a politician in Israel like Netanyahu or Lieberman or Bennett or Lapid or Yalon makes some promise or some proclamation or makes some speech. We can show on our site, we can show and we will show, God willing, how what they're saying contradicts their record and contradicts the facts on the ground. So this is very important from an educational standpoint to wake the people of Israel up. Very, very important. On the English movement, on the English page, very soon we're going to be dealing with the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Only 13 months from now, we're going to have the first voting. 13 or 14 months from now, we're going to have the first voting in the Iowa caucuses. And way before then, of course, we have the fundraising, the speeches, the trips to Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, the debates that are going to be coming up. The candidates are going to be debating. All the candidates are going to be declaring their candidacies very soon. So we're going to be in the thick of it, in the thick of a real vigorous campaign for the presidency. And hopefully we're going to have some sort of influence on the process. We're going to try to, at least. Our English page is put together so well, just as our Hebrew page is, that I'm really hopeful that we can influence people and that we can educate people with the page. I think when people come to the page and when they start seeing all the news items, all the videos, all the polls, all the interesting things that we have, the opinion pieces that we're going to be putting up, right now on the English page, it's mostly news items. on the Hebrew page, we already have three videos that we've done. We've already done three Hebrew videos this past week for the Hebrew page. So people are going to see that there are videos, God willing, and news articles and opinion pieces and polls, and that it's presented in a way where you really get a lot of facts, a lot of information. And I think that's very important, and I'm so proud to present this to the public in Israel and in the United States. I think we have a lot to be proud of, and I think all of us as a team should be promoting these pages and spreading the word everywhere. You can help us. You can help us do that, and you have a lot to be proud of, and we have something to really show the public. And this is something that gives us an opportunity to finally have a source of information, a page which has real news on numerous subjects, news and information that's put together in a way where it's not put together like that anywhere else. And this is something which, again, I think all of us can play a role. Every one of you listening can play a role in helping us to reach people with this. And I really think that it's making this a better world if we succeed in getting lots of new people, and if we become a source of news for large numbers of people, then you know that that's going to be very positive. That's going to be very positive for Israel, for the United States, for the world. It's going to make this a better world if we become a major source of news and information for people. And that's our goal. So, I urge you to join the page. I urge you to comment on the page. I urge you to vote in the polls. Most of all, spread the word. Spread the word everywhere. You should come to the page every day and see what's new on the page, and you should encourage other people to do likewise. And please comment on the articles, join the page, vote in the polls, do everything to make the page as active as possible. On the Hebrew page, just to give you an example of the three new, we did three new videos in the past week for the Hebrew page. I just put one up today, for instance, about the Knesset member Merav Michaeli, Yimach Shma V'Zichra. Merav Michaeli is an extreme left-wing member of the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And her grandfather was Rudolf Kastner, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, the head of the Hungarian Judenrat, who was responsible for the murder of hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews, who helped the German Nazis murder hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews. And now this beast, Merav Michaeli, the granddaughter of this Judenrat beast, his granddaughter now is supporting the Arabs, and she just released a letter in Arabic and in Hebrew supporting the Arabs while they're murdering Jewish babies and running over Jewish babies and promising to exterminate the Jewish people and all non-Muslim infidels. And she, as a Jewish member of the Knesset, as the granddaughter of the head of the Judenrat in Hungary, is proclaiming her solidarity and support for the Arabs and telling the Arabs that she wants them to know that she stands with them and she supports them while they're doing these criminal acts of genocide against the Jewish people. So we decided to expose her and her grandfather. That's our latest video. Nobody speaks about these things the way we do. Nobody exposes these things the way we do. Nobody. There's no other source of information like this for Israeli Jews. Nowhere. It's absolutely vital that we reach people with the truth. Justice demands that we reach people with the truth. It's absolutely vital. And so please, help us spread the word. Those of you that don't speak Hebrew, spread the word for the English site. The more people we get in the English site, the bigger the English site becomes. That's also very important, and it will help Israel as well, obviously. And most of all, of course, most of all, we need your financial support. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to the post office box, it does make a big difference. The more financial support we have, the more people we're going to be able to reach. We're only 2 weeks old now with these sites. Just 2 weeks old. But we hope that we're going to reach people, large numbers of people eventually, and that we're going to make a difference. It'll take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. If we had big money, it would happen overnight. Then it would happen overnight. Overnight, we'd start reaching large numbers of people if we had a big budget. When I say a big budget, for us, a big budget. If we had a couple of million dollars, that would be it. We'd reach very large numbers of people overnight, and very quickly, we'd become a mass movement. But we don't have that type of budget. And so even with our and so with our meager resources, we want to reach as many people as we can. As many people as possible we want to reach. And every check, every money order, every cash donation really does help. It helps us to promote the cause and to promote the truth and expose the truth. So now more than ever, help us out. That's a very important part of our struggle. Because our lack of financial support is our biggest downfall in the end. That's the number one downfall. I mean, we proved on Facebook when we got over 27,000 likes in 3 months, we proved that when our message reaches the Jews of Israel, a lot of Jews are interested and attracted to our message. We just have to be able to reach them. And the problem, the only obstacle to our reaching them at this point in the age of the internet, the only obstacle we have is money. So the more money we get, the more people we can reach, the better job we can do, and God willing, we can make a difference for Israel and for America and for the world. Because again, if our Hebrew movement becomes a mass movement, I think our English movement will also become a major movement. I believe that. Those of you that don't want to send checks, money orders, or cash donations through the regular mail, for convenience sake, if you'd prefer to do it online with your credit card through PayPal, you can just go to the donate button in English on the Hebrew. It's on the Hebrew page on hayamin.org. You go to hayamin.org, on top there's a donate button. I am excited and I'm hopeful that these two new pages, the Hebrew and the English pages, will eventually reach large numbers of people, will eventually become a regular, consistent source of information for people. I'm hopeful we can do that. If we succeed in doing that, if we become large news pages and a major source of information for large numbers of people, we will change history. We will certainly change the history of Israel and certainly change Jewish history for the better. If we succeed in doing that, God willing. We need your help. Let's make this a team effort. And let's all pitch in, because it's something that I think can happen if we all do our share and if we all work hard at making this succeed. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while. But God willing, we hope that the end result will be that we enlighten people and bring the truth to people, a truth that has been hidden for too long and covered up for too long, a truth that must be told. Okay, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers now, and we start off with our great friend Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what are your thoughts on the following people? And then we have a whole list of people here. Kendrick Lamar, Angelina Jolie, Lindsay Lohan, Lady Gaga, Rebecca Black. Okay. I don't like any of these people, Wandering Samurai. I think you knew that I was going to say that. I think you picked them knowing that I'm not going to like any of them. Kendrick Lamar is a hip-hop affirmative action moron. What else can I add? He's a moron. His hip-hop is not music. It's just noise. He has zero talent. The things that he sings about are evil and immoral. He's an evil person. And a moron. And the next one, Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie is an actress who is deeply involved with the United Nations and all the evil groups in the United Nations. She's also, by the way, a lesbian. She openly says that she's bisexual and lesbian and that she's had relations with women, even though she's married. Just disgusting. She's just disgusting, and she says that she will have lesbian relations even while she's married. She admits that. And the next one, Lindsay Lohan, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the cheap slut, another so-called actress. What a joke. Lady Gaga, so-called singer. What sick so-called music. I mean, just sick, sadomasochistic, lesbian, just decadent, degenerate filth. Rebecca Black, I don't know that much about her, except that I know that she sings her own version of two Miley Cyrus songs. And you know, Miley Cyrus is the lowest slut on the face of the earth. So obviously, I can't think very much of someone who's promoting two versions of Miley Cyrus songs. All of these people are part of the so-called entertainment industry that is destroying and making mush out of the minds of the American people and of Western society in general. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you hope that Obama gets Ebola during his Asian tour, unquote. I hope Barack Hussein Obama, his wife, and all the animals on his staff, I hope they get every disease under the sun. I hope Hashem afflicts them with every disease under the sun. I curse them with the worst curses that can possibly be placed upon evil people. They are monstrously evil people. And may Hashem, may God curse them, and may God afflict them with disease and illness and every disaster that can possibly occur to a human being. They deserve all of it. They are pure evil. Thank you, Joe. And we go now to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, curse Iggy Azalea, disgusting white Australian slut, moved to U.S. to become a rap star, admits she wants to be black, dates and sleeps only with Schwarzes. Yeah, she is. This is self-hate. These are self-hating whites. They're so sick. They're so disgusting. You know, the media and Hollywood promote blacks day and night, and promote rap and promote blacks day and night, so that the dumbest and ugliest people on the face of the earth suddenly become the coolest people. According to the media and according to Hollywood, the ugliest and dumbest people on the face of the earth, the people with the lowest IQs, who are also physically the ugliest people, they suddenly become cool. It's cool to be an ugly, low IQ imbecile. That's what the media and Hollywood have succeeded in doing. Look at the power they have over people, that they've been able to transform something that should be, evil, cruel, ugly, dumb people, to transform them into the new cool. And they've been able to do this, and for decades they've been doing this. It shows how gullible and stupid people can be. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to our great new friend, Righteous Indian Gentile, who writes, and I quote, if the U.S. were to attack Iran's nuclear facilities, how do we protect the homeland, given the fact that Iran has planted proxies in U.S., Mexico, South America, unquote. Well, yes, and it is possible that there will be terrorist attacks and retaliation. That's possible. But whatever Iran can do is nothing compared to the danger that Iran poses as a nuclear power. So it's worth taking those chances. That's not one thousandth of the danger that Iran would pose if they had, God forbid, nuclear bombs. So it is worth it for the United States to do it. You can't hermetically guard against every possible terrorist attack, because the United States is so open to so many different people coming from all over the world, unfortunately. So you can't hermetically guard against everything. But I think it's clear that Iran has to be, that Iran's nuclear bomb making program has to be destroyed, because the real threat to America, the threat of mass, of real mass destruction, comes if Iran, God forbid, gets nuclear bombs. Thank you, Righteous Indian Gentile. And the great Tag Mechir Tzedek now writes, and I quote, how can we fight the Gedolim phenomena? Gedolim, in quotes, I assume, of course, what Tag Mechir is referring to are rabbis who are called great ones, who are called Gedolim. Tag Mechir then writes, isn't the army the perfect opportunity to get Haredim out of that bubble and mind control as a first step, unquote? Tag Mechir, there is no mind control institution worse than the army. The army makes young soldiers who go in right-wingers, and makes them left-wingers in many cases, tries to brainwash them, teaches them that you have to love your Arab enemy. The army brainwashes soldiers. And generally speaking, The influence that the army has on soldiers is a negative influence. So if you want to prevent mind control, and I'm not saying that you don't need, we need an army to defend Israel, that's true. But that's no excuse for the fact that the army that we have is run by left-wing generals and self-hating Jews, which it is. If you want an answer to mind control, the answer is not the Israeli army. That's for sure. Because there you really have mind control. They teach religious Jews that it's okay to throw Jews out of their homes, expel them and destroy their homes, and hand over Jewish land to Arab Muslim Nazis that want to exterminate the Jewish people. That's what they teach them. But that you can never, never, never even suggest doing the same thing to Arabs, throw the Arabs out by force. That you can't even suggest. That's illegal, even suggesting that. But Jews you can throw out of their homes by the thousands. So there's no mind control worse than that. What they did in Gush Katif, if that isn't mind control, I don't know what mind control is. So I think the answer is education and waking people up, making people aware of the facts, whether it's soldiers or whether it's people in the religious national camp or whether it's Haredim or whether it's Chiluniim, whether it's the non-religious Jews in Israel. We have a major education campaign that we have to begin. And eventually, if we had enough power, of course, we would change the education system in Israel completely. But until we have that, until that point, we can't just sit back and do nothing. We've got to go out and try to educate our in the best way we can on our own. And that's something that, of course, we're trying to do. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And we go now to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "The loser, Natan Sharansky, had his clock cleaned by Buchanan in a debate. Please comment," unquote. Oh, of course, Natan Sharansky is a terrible debater. Even though he's promoted as some great speaker, he's a terrible speaker, he's a terrible debater. Nothing he says makes sense. He says that we should give democracy to Muslim terrorists. You know, they had democratic elections in Iran, and they voted for the Ayatollahs. They had democratic elections in Gaza, and they voted for, and Judea and Samaria, they voted for Hamas. They had democratic elections in other countries, and we've seen what they've done. In Iraq, they voted for the Iranian terrorist supporting parties. In Lebanon, in the democratic elections, they elect Hezbollah. So, you know, this notion of Sharansky's that democracy is the answer to everything. Adolf Hitler, yimach shmo v'zichro, was democratically elected. He was democratically elected. So Sharansky's absurd notions about democracy, he forgets that, you know, even though he's from the Soviet Union, he forgets that the Mensheviks were the ones who overthrew the Tsar. The Mensheviks were democratic socialists. They were socialists, but they were democratic socialists like you have in Western Europe. They weren't communists. Alexander Kerensky and the Mensheviks. And they overthrew the Tsar. But because they had this notion of you have to give freedom and democracy and allow the communists and the Bolsheviks to run in the elections and allow them to basically do whatever they want, the communists and the Bolsheviks, because of that, they were overthrown several months later by the Bolsheviks, by the communists. And you had a communist dictatorship in Russia for 70 years because of that. Democracy can be very dangerous. Relying on democracy, relying on that system of government can be very dangerous when you're dealing with people that have a totalitarian mindset. The Muslims have a totalitarian mindset. Hitler and the people of Germany in the early 1930s had a totalitarian mindset, and democracy in Germany enabled Hitler to take power. Democracy in Russia enabled the communist Bolsheviks to take power. Democracy in the Muslim world has enabled Hamas and Hezbollah and the Iranian mullahs and others to either take power or stay in power. So Sharansky's whole concept is absurd. And now Lewinsky Stinks asks, is Shabak part... And by the way, I just want to say about Anatoly Sharansky, about the Natan... Now they call him Natan Sharansky. His name in Russian was Anatoly Sharansky. I organized hundreds of demonstrations to free him when he was in Siberia. And we actually bombed Soviet diplomatic targets to free him. And he was one of the major, I mean, over and over again, we spoke about how important it is to free Anatoly Sharansky and the Soviet Jews, and we mentioned his name over and over again. We did everything to free him. And in the end, I went to prison for 5.5 years and basically sacrificed my life to get him out and to get the other Jews out. When I was denied the right to enter Israel, he had the balance of power. He had 8 seats in the Knesset. He could have gone to Netanyahu, and he could have demanded that I be let in, and Netanyahu would have let me in if that happened. But he refused to do anything. He said to my friends who went to him and asked him to intervene, he said, "There is nothing I can do. Nothing I can do." So that's Sharansky. I put my life on the line to save him. All he had to do was make a phone call, and he wouldn't do that, that filthy pig. He's a pig. He's a swine. And I wouldn't trust anything he says or does. He's a swine. And he's one of the architects of George W. Bush's crazy policy of going into Iraq and overthrowing Saddam Hussein, which led to Iran coming so close to building nuclear bombs now because of that stupid move. Instead of destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, George W. Bush thought he's going to bring democracy to Iraq and bring democracy to all these countries. What insanity. And a lot of this was under the influence of Sharansky. So he's done a lot of harm in this world. He has a lot to answer for on the Day of Judgment, and I will not forgive him on the Day of Judgment. I will not forgive what he did to me. 19 years now, I'm banned from Israel because of that pig. And I will never forgive him for that. And believe me, he'll answer for that on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, "Is Shabak part of the NWO, the New World Order?" Shabak being the Israeli version of the KGB or the FBI. Yes, the Shabak certainly is part of the New World Order, absolutely. People in Shabak believe in serving their masters, and in their masters being the Israeli government. The Israeli government takes its orders from Barack Hussein Obama and the U.S. government. And that is New World Order. That certainly is. And suppressing the rights of Jews in Judea and Samaria and vivisecting the Jewish homeland is part of the program of the New World Order that Shabak is very involved in. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, "What percent of Serbs fear Putin above God?" I'm very sorry that the Serbs have this tremendous trust for Vladimir Putin and Russia, just because Vladimir Putin and Russia claim to support Serbia because of their common Slavic background. They claim to support Serbia, though Russia never actually did anything effective to help the Serbs. It's all talk, it's all baloney, but the Serbs trust Russia and unfortunately defend Russia, even many of Russia's terrible policies. They'll blindly defend anything Russia does now because Russia claimed to be supporting them. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to the great Mansch, who writes, and I quote, "Under current Capo Israeli regime, we face a dilemma. Arming citizens will save lives, but how can Israeli Arabs then be excluded from legally owning firearms?" Unquote. Very, very serious dilemma. You're absolutely right, Mansch. You're absolutely right. The only way that we'd solve that problem would be if we were in power. Because any other Israeli government, they would say, if you're going to arm Israeli Jewish citizens, then you've also got to give weapons to Israeli Arab citizens, because after all, it's a democracy and you can't discriminate. You know, which is, the Israeli Arabs want to destroy Israel, of course, and want to murder all the Jews, so it would be insanity to give them weapons. By the way, Israeli governments, of course, have a history of giving weapons to the worst terrorists, to our worst enemies. That's what they did with the Oslo agreements. They gave weapons to the PLO terrorists, and the PLO terrorists murdered hundreds of Jews with those weapons. Only if we were in power, that wouldn't happen, Mansch. If we were in power, I wouldn't care what anybody says. Israeli Jews would be armed. Israeli Arabs, we would encourage to leave the country, but they would not be allowed to have firearms. We would not allow them to have firearms. They are committed to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. 95% of them vote for Arab Nazi parties and terrorist parties that openly call for Israel's destruction. They would not be allowed to own firearms. And there are ways. There certainly are ways to legally do what I'm suggesting. There are ways to do it, and if we were in power, we would do it. Thank you, Mensch. And we go now to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "Why is David Cameron so pro-Islam? Is he a crypto-Marxist, or has he been bought off by Qatar oil money?" Unquote. I think a lot of it does have to do with oil money. I think that the Arab oil barons, the Persian Gulf oil mega billionaires, have invested so much money in Britain and bought up so much of the British news media. They have purchased so much of British real estate. They have so much power in British companies. They're buying up all of Britain, and Britain is losing their economic independence. Britain is losing every aspect of their independence to the Muslims. They're buying with their oil money. They're buying everything up. So, yes, David Cameron and the British politicians have been bought off. They're afraid to go against all of that Arab oil money, which is so powerful and so potent in the United Kingdom right now. They're also afraid. They also want trade with the Arab world. They want to continue to have trade with the Arab world. So there are all types of things that the Arabs use to blackmail Britain and to make Britain pro-Muslim. Thank you, Da Vinci. And of course, it's completely unnecessary. It doesn't have to be. Britain can be independent, so can the United States. All of these countries can be independent if they wanted to, but we have corrupt politicians that don't want to. And we go now to the great Kalman ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, "Reb Chaim, how did Baba Wawa make it so far in broadcast journalism with a speech impediment? Thank you," unquote. For people who don't know, Baba Wawa is Barbara Walters, Yamach Shma V'Zichra, the ultimate self-hating Jewish Judenrat capo. She made it because of the sensationalism. She believes in sensationalism and petty gossip type journalism. And the networks learned a long time ago that that gets ratings, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that Americans like that garbage. She does the petty gossip stuff, the personality stuff. That's the type of so-called journalism. She's not a serious. She's not a journalist, of course. She's a joke. The reason they call her Baba Wawa is because she has, you know, she speaks in a strange way. And the term Baba Wawa, for those of you who don't know, comes from Saturday Night Live, the skits on Saturday Night Live, where they used to imitate her in the 1970s, and it really was hilarious. But she, this evil animal, she has everything the media wants. She had everything the media wants. Now she's in her mid-80s. But she had everything the media wanted. She was a self-hating Jew. She was a leftist. She was a smut peddler and interested in only in the lowest type of yellow journalism and gossip and filth. That's the type of thing she promoted, and the media loves that. So that's how she got ahead. Thank you, Kalman. And we go now to, let's see, we go now to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, what's the reason why Bibi's government is stable? It was not a rhetorical question," unquote. His government is stable because the politicians in Israel don't want to have to face the voters again. So the various parties in Israel that make up the majority coalition, they don't want to quit the coalition. They don't want to quit his coalition government. Now, of course, there's a limit. Eventually, it starts to break apart when this party or that party sees an opportunity. They think a new election might actually help them. So once everybody starts seeing that election, that the coalition is breaking apart, then they all start breaking it apart, start breaking the government apart, and bring the government down, and elections are held. But generally speaking, parties want to hold the government together. They want to hold the coalition together, the parties that are in the coalition that were part of the government. They want to hold it together because they don't want to face the voters again. They're happy as cabinet ministers getting their money and living off of the taxpayers and doing all the harm that they do to the Jewish people. They're happy with that. And so they don't want to have to face the voters again if they can avoid it. That's what makes government stable. In the 1990s, you wanted to compare that to the 1990s with Bibi's government in the 1990s. Actually, at that time, his government lasted 3 years also. So you may see the government, his governments usually, Bibi's governments usually last about 3 years. That's what you saw, 2009 to January 2012, the elections, it was about 3 years. It was in the 1990s, it was about 3 years. And this time it might be a little bit less, actually. So it might actually be even a little less stable. Benjamin now writes, too, Wolf won in Pennsylvania, but Republicans grew their majority in both houses of the Pennsylvania state legislature, unquote. That's very true. Very true. The Republicans did grow their majority, but unfortunately, that self-hating Jewish animal, that intermarried self-hating left-wing Jewish animal, Tom Wolf, was elected governor, and that's very bad for the Jewish people and very bad for Pennsylvania. Thank you, Benjamin. And we go now to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, have you heard of Bash Fastin, the ex-Muslim, now a Randian objectivist? And have you read his comics about Pigman, unquote? He believes in Ayn Rand now? Well, that's unfortunate. Sorry to hear that, because I liked a lot of what he was saying. I think he's a pretty gutsy guy. I mean, he really gives it to the Muslims. He also has said correctly about that Iran is building nuclear bombs, and he has attacked all the American politicians and American presidents that have been appeasing Iran. So he's been pretty good on Iran. He's been pretty good on some of these issues. I didn't know that he was a fan of Ayn Rand. I'm actually disappointed to hear that, because Ayn Rand was first of all, she's a libertarian, which is problematic in and of itself. And she was also a self-hating Jew, of course, because she was an atheist, a militant atheist. Even though she supported Israel, she did support Israel, but she was a militant atheist. And obviously that's very problematic. I don't know. I liked a lot of what I saw about him. Now I'm disappointed to hear that if he's following Ayn Rand. I'm actually disappointed to hear that, because I actually thought some of the stuff that he was doing about Iran and some of the things he was saying were some of those things were pretty good. So I'm disappointed to hear that. Thank you, Papercut. And we go now to the great Kahana loyalist, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what would the Republicans need to take control of New York City, unquote? I don't think there's any chance they're going to be able to do that, Kahana loyalist. New York City voted for Barack Hussein Obama in the last presidential election, 81%. 81% voted for Barack Hussein Obama. New York City is now, about two-thirds non-white. Only about one-third of New York is now white. And you know that the minorities vote overwhelmingly left-wing Democrat. I never understood why Asians, well, I know why they vote left-wing Democrat, because they want to bring the immigrants in from China and from other Asian countries. It's unfortunate, because their best interests in terms of business, in terms of clean, decent neighborhoods, would be with the right wing leaders like Ted Cruz. But in any event, about two thirds of the city now is non-white. The one third that is white, most of them are nuts too. So I don't think there's any real chance of New York City becoming Republican, unless you count Mike Bloomberg and those types of people as Republicans. They're not real Republicans. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And we go now to our new friend, PMN, who writes, and I quote, Modern life is making mitzvot increasingly easy. Does this phenomenon lower discipline and mindfulness in favor of a checklist Judaism, unquote? It can, in certain areas, with certain mitzvot, certain commandments, it can. It can. But there are a lot of mitzvot. It gives, you know, the modern life also gives us an opportunity that we didn't have before. For instance, with the internet. The internet can be very dangerous. There's a lot of filth on the internet. There are a lot of terrible things on the internet that can influence people negatively. But at the same time, the internet gives us an opportunity now to go above the heads of the news media, go above the heads of the influence makers of the past, and to reach people with a message of truth. And that's also a mitzvah. That's a commandment to go out and reach Jews with the truth and reach righteous Gentiles with the truth. That's part of the mitzvot. Some of the mitzvot, like the mitzvahs of limud Torah, studying the Torah, which is very hard, that has been made easier by the fact that you have computers now and you can look up sources and everything else. It's a little bit easier, but still very hard because there's so much. If you want to study Torah Judaism, there is so much. It is so huge and so voluminous that it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. It's very, very hard. And even with the modern technology and everything else, which perhaps makes it easier to find sources in the Talmud and elsewhere, nevertheless, it's still very complex, and you have to do some very deep thinking. And there's so much information and so many commentaries and so much out there that you have to learn if you really want to be a serious Torah scholar. That's one thing that is never going to be easy. Thank you for the question, and we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "Please prove to BB lovers listening to this show that BB is not someone to love. Convince them that they are wrong," unquote. Okay, and you know, Dr. Dan, in Israel, a lot of Jews can't stand BB Netanyahu. A lot of Jews on the right, I'm talking about the people on the right, can't stand him. There are a lot of people bitterly opposed to him. But in America, everyone who claims to be right-wing, for some reason, they worship Bibi Netanyahu. It's insane. It's just ignorance. It's unbelievable ignorance. And that's one of the things that I hope our organization and our new news page can deal with and can finally confront once and for all. Bibi Netanyahu gave up 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, in 1996 to the PLO Nazi terrorists and to the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. He surrendered in December 1996. 97% of Hebron, of the city of Hebron. In the Y agreements with Bill Clinton, all of this is under Bill Clinton. Bill and Hillary Clinton did this. We're pressuring him, and he gave in right away. He collapsed like a cheap fan. In 1998, in the Y agreement, he gave up 13% of Judea and Samaria to the PLO terrorists and to Arafat. Since the year 2009, because of Obama's pressure, he has frozen Jewish building in settlements, frozen Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, Eastern Jerusalem, while allowing the Arabs to build like crazy all over the place. And so we are on the ground. We're losing our land and losing our chance for preventing the creation of a so-called Palestine state. The Palestine state is being created right now on the ground because of Bibi's policies. And of course, he's come out and said that he favors the creation of a Palestine state. He has expelled hundreds of Jews from Judea and Samaria since 2009, forcibly throwing them out of their homes and destroying their homes brutally. Hundreds of Jews have been thrown out by the Netanyahu government since 2009. Over and over again, he has done this. He voted in favor of the Gush Katif expulsion. And when he was Treasury Minister, he funded the Gush Katif expulsion. He was Treasury Minister and funded it, right? And then, like a week before, he said, oh, now I'm quitting the government, I disagree with it. After he funded it, enabled Sharon to do it, and voted in favor of it and spoke up in favor of it, right up until the end, and then the last minute, he pulled out so that he could have it both ways, so that he could say he was in favor and then also tell other people that he was against it. You know, which is the two-faced phoniness that we expect from Bibi Netanyahu. And Iran, who can excuse the fact that this guy, Netanyahu, this phony coward, has spent his whole political life telling us for decades how dangerous a nuclear Iran is, how this can lead to there's a real threat here of a nuclear war, of a nuclear holocaust, a real threat to the survival, very survival of the Jewish people, and he is right. Millions of Jews, the lives of millions of Jews are in danger because of this. And yet he won't take the action that has to be taken to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. He has said, by the way, he himself has said that Iran's nuclear bomb-making program poses a very real threat to Israel's survival and a threat of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid. He has said that. He has also said that Israel has the military capability to take out that program if Israel wants to. So why doesn't he do it? Because Barack Hussein Obama says, no, I don't want you to do it. I mean, can you imagine this? He's more worried about displeasing Obama than he is about protecting the lives of millions of Jews from a nuclear holocaust. I mean, you can't get more cowardly than that. You can't get more irresponsible and reckless and destructive as a leader than what Bibi has done in terms of Iran. And I could go on and on. He's a grotesque example of what a pathetic generation we're living in. And God willing, I hope someday we'll have real Jewish leaders from our movement to show the Jews of Israel and America and show the whole world how real Jewish leaders are supposed to act. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to our great friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of having the parliamentary system in the United States? Elections would be a lot shorter, unquote. Yeah, there would be advantages. There would be advantages to it. You know, you could bring the government down when you have a government like this one with Obama. But there are also a lot of disadvantages to it. I don't know. I think for the United States, I tend to think for the United States, the present system is better than a parliamentary system in America. In Israel, I think the parliamentary system is better. And in certain countries, I think it's better. But in America, I think the system that exists now is probably better. I don't know. I guess in the long run, you can argue that there are very serious problems with it, no question about it. But I just think it would be a mess if we had a parliamentary system where the government can fall all the time and you have multiple parties running. I just think it would be a mess in the United States. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to our great friend, Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, Woody Allen's latest movie called Fading Gigolo is about a middle-aged male prostitute. Woody plays the pimp, making Jews look weak and pathetic, unquote. Absolutely. Well, that's what Woody Allen always does. Not only that, he has religious Jews and religious Jewish women that are interested in this prostitute in the movie. I mean, he makes religious Jews look like horrible people. He makes the religious Jews look as perverted as he is. Yimach shmo v'zichro to Woody Allen. Yimach shmo v'zichro. Oh, how I wish we were a mass movement so that we could deal with animals like this. So that we could make them pay a price. Hollywood and the news media and become an alternative to them and make them pay a price once and for all and confront them before the entire public once and for all and expose them for what they are. Oh, how I wish we could have that power. Thank you for the question. And we go now to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, would you prefer a seat in the Knesset or the Sanhedrin rebuilt so no Jew can listen to the Knesset? What can we do for the temple's return, unquote? Well, of course I would prefer the return of the Sanhedrin. Of course I would prefer that. I want a seat in the Knesset, and I'd like to become prime minister so that we can bring the Sanhedrin back. I would work to do that, LKZ. What do you think? I want to run for the Knesset because I'm interested in schmoozing with the political prostitutes that are in that disgusting body? Of course I want the Sanhedrin to return to Israel. What can we do for the temple's return? We have to work to make the people of Israel aware of why it's so important that we have the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. And we have to bring the Jews back to the Torah, because the Jews, they have to understand the importance of Torah, the importance of Beit HaMikdash, the importance of final redemption. That's an educational process that we have to engage in against all odds, against the establishment. We have to do that, but eventually it's going to happen. There's no question about it. Eventually it's going to happen, but we don't want to have to wait another 100 years or 200 years for it to happen. Thank you, LKZ. And I want to thank everyone for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.